Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
strategic myopia. Myopia means short-sightedness. So what it means is basically, strangely, that your eye is longer than your lens should be. So your lens if you're short-sighted, you tend to focus on things too closely. Your lenses are too thick, or your eyes too long, or something like that. But there's a thing called strategic short-sightedness. Now, this is where people, for whatever reason, can't interact with a strategic story. And sorry, just waving to a student. So I go on my little journey. So what we'll be doing is chatting while I drive, and there'll be just a few stops as I come through these intersections. But what really stunned me is that the inability of people to see really, really basic things. It might be a bit of maths, it might be a bit of atmospheric physics, maybe a piece of chemistry. They just can't see it. And what we are training them in is a sort of strategic myopia. This is the inability to perceive things. And this is one of the sort of amazing things that happens with me. Because I suppose I've had an intelligence background. Now, I would be the equivalent if a properly trained intelligent person would be a light meal. A fully trained intelligence person who's an expert would be a three-course dinner, and I would be the equivalent of someone of a used tea bag wafted over a glass of water in terms of intelligence training. However, I have had some intelligence training. I'm just going to stop this now. Back with you after that short break. You got a little while for the next short break coming up. So we're discussing what is intelligence. Now, as I really thoroughly state, I'm in no way officially trained in any capacity in intelligence. Let's get that off straight off. Now, the areas that I was, I suppose, close on it was infantry. So each time you'd be given a list of things to look for when you're out in the bush patrolling, and you'd be out there constantly interpreting things, like interpreting. I used to be able to. I can't do it anymore, but I used to be able to track vehicles quite easily by looking at twig breaks. You know, the vehicle would roll over a twig and break it in a particular direction. So you could look at a twig break and actually see the direction that a vehicle had gone in. And then eventually through signals and stuff like that, you'd be listening and you'd have to interpret things. And I suppose by and by in business, you'd look through figures and you'd see if, you know, basically they're out people to fraud and stuff like that. And continuously, and of course intelligence, you're almost intelligence officer as a teacher, because students will try and insert plagiarism as a form of intelligence, but in terms of that, you'd look at the metadata structure, word count, do a whole heap of things to look at things. And then obviously if you had a earlier draft of what someone was trying to do, or look, occasionally you would there'd be business intelligence, and that you'd see a particular company in the Sydney region would be offered to be bought up, and that would tell you about the intent of people. So that's interesting. And you weren't really aware that not everybody else was thinking at the level of intelligence, or that a lot of people, I suppose, in the army came in and thought, oh, I'm going to blow people away, and or I'm going to do this, that they could perceive themselves. Not many people actually saw it very much as an intelligence gathering operation, which obviously it is, because you know, you're an infantry person out there, and depending on what you do, in the old days, the worst you could do is throw a rock at someone. Now, you can talk about something, and an airstrike can go in, and it's a huge explosion. So, the industry is very complex, and a lot of the way that we operate is on an intelligence way. And it's only just recently that I've realized there's this idea of intelligence competency within a community. And I've only come across this through a very long, torturous process, because when you don't communicate, you sort of think, you know, obviously, is it me or is it the system? You mostly think it's you, because 90% of the time, when you're first starting off communicating, it's 90% you, and it can be. And what actually happens as you work on these communication things, they melt away, and you're left with the block of communication being outside yourself, external to yourself. And the case in point I want to discuss is this weird painting of done by people who want to cast Australian history in a particular way. And it's called The Founding of Australia. And from an intelligence point of view, talking about twigs, in this painting, the initial thing I saw was they'd chopped down all the trees to frame the painting. And obviously, from that background of twigs and trees, you break a tree, you know, or damage the environment. It's something which immediately alerts to me. Then there's something about the structure and the posing of the painting. And I went back in and looked it up and picked up a copy of the internet of the painting. And immediately when I picked up this particular copy, it was different from the painting I'd saw. And then, unfortunately, I was able to get two copies of the painting and actually basically get a during composition painting. And as an intelligence officer or an intelligence person, you can see what is the meaning of it. Why is this person suddenly asking for... You know, these are really small things you can basically tell the size of a unit by the amount of water that they are ordering in. So if they're just trying to do a surreptitious a few people and then build up, you can see by the amount of water or something like that. There are all these indications here. So the editing is just not a random thing. It actually gives you a hell of a lot of information. And so this is sort of what intelligence is. It's interpreting the information. The information is there. You're not smart or anything like that. You're interpreting it there. So it's there. It's just other people. It's masked. It's masked by people's biases and laziness. There's two aspects for why people don't see these things. So going back to this, there's this big painting, very important, because it's the painting upon which Australia's myth is founded. And it's a myth without Aboriginals, and it's a various myth. And as an intelligence officer, I'm not an intelligence officer, I've only work with them, and then had a bit of training in signals, and had intelligence briefs, and then I don't know. As a research scientist, you go in and Oh, look, I think very much as a research scientist, you were always on the... if the needle flicks the wrong way, a majority of people tap the side of the machine to make sure it taps the right way, whereas that could be the next Nobel Prize. Let's follow it up. Now let's push up here. Now, I'm going here to see these people and return these gas masks or dust masks, as they're called. I'll just go through here. I'll be with you in a certain while, and I hope you find this an interesting chat-a-thon. So, continuing our podcast, I've just returned excess gas or dust masks that you do buy in Australia when you're up against bushfires and there's too much smoke. So it basically saves your lungs. In the long term, these are masks, and I didn't realise there were packs of 10. I thought were rather expensive for one, but you know, carry out your orders as given. I bought 3 because that's the minimum number we needed, but then I wound up buying 30, so I returned 20. So there you go, that's the story there. Now, we're talking about intelligence and the intelligence that one gathers from a painting, and you can I suppose interpretation of a painting is the intelligence of it. But if you have multiple paintings, like the X-ray of painting, see, you can tell a lot more about the thought, and it's a new level of interest. But it is also interesting is that intelligence itself gives you intelligence about how people use intelligence. I mean, this is like second-order intelligence. And it's sort of like, I suppose, one of the amazing things that you do is that in terms of working out, so watching people ask for help. This is related, that they ask for help, and it turns out that the help actually is worse for them, i.e. figuratively they call in a fire mission. They don't pick up the accent and the things are wrong in the fire mission, and they get fire laid down upon them. They've given away information about their position in order to give their coordinates, got a fire mission, and the fire mission comes on top of them. They don't have sufficient situational awareness of what's going on. And this also goes to intelligence. You give them an intelligence report, and people would you expect them to react, i.e. the enemy is building up such and such a bridgehead. You get an intelligence report, and then nothing happens. And eventually, you get the second order intelligence working out the efficacy of your own side. This is for me incredibly interesting because so let's face it, quantum mechanics is not that difficult. And modern electronics is not that difficult, yet we can't apply it. We've got low efficacy, low strategic efficacy, which means part of low efficacy is the way you treat intelligence. And so this is interesting. So I find it intensely interesting that I do this thing. It's really obvious to me, but for various reasons, people are not picking up what I've found. So I've got this painting, the other paintings, and I can animate it as an animated GIF. And then as an intelligence officer, you can go in, write in, and say, why did they do this? Why is this person put here? Why is this person... Initially, he's got a red suit because of a superficial reason, but if that person's uniform has changed, it's a deliberate act. And so, similar to the people porting water, if they suddenly port up more water, you know that they're building up for they're not bringing up any more ammunition, they're hiding that, but they're bringing up more meals. They're taking a bit longer gathering water because they're gathering more litres of water. So rather than actually doing any masking operations, it's sort of exposed, and it's sort of shameful exposure. So I find this really interesting. So I produce that, and then I read the cook stuff. I don't know whether I'll be able to do it. This is the history of Australia. Contact the person, communicate this to a person, and start to understand people can't deal with raw intelligence, so you give them a little taster, they say yes. Then when I gave the intelligence synopsis to this person, he didn't understand it. And then I animated it for him, sent the YouTube to him. Still lack of understanding. And this is really interesting in terms of that they don't recognize what you were saying. They're seeing as there's a subtle difference between a interaction in terms of there is a really fundamental difference between the reason I invite people over to dinner is for a social reason, to establish my credentials, create a network. There's a whole lot of social reasons for it. And so the reason I might contact someone and say something is for a whole series of reasons, but a true intelligence report is devoid of that. You've built it of all that social reason. So when someone gets a piece of social intelligence report and they've lived in a world of social interaction, this is like raw. This is like handing someone a freeze-dried prunes, for instance, and they go and eat it. You don't realize that you have to cook it. You don't have to insert it into your meal. It's like it's an ingredient. It's not a content. And so this is interesting. So I've got this here. I now have a module here, and it's a thing to slowly build the entire story of it and actually try and acclimatize people to the packaging of it. They mightn't understand what an intelligence is. They will do obviously understand what a social, venting a social opinion is and all that type of stuff. They do it all the time. And in fact, it really clutters things up and makes it very difficult for you to push things forward. Now I've got to go forward up here, up to the gym. So I won't be with you for very much longer. It's a pretty rapid process. It's 10 to 9. As I'm pushing along here. Yeah, it's really interesting how this happens or doesn't happen. And this is the entire region reason. Now, it's really interesting that people have responded, pulled back from the research they've done is actually contracted research, which does not intrude in the social space. So one of the things that I'm looking at, the history is what's happened, but also how one edits history. That's two aspects of the same history. So this is why it's so important. And the fact that people have a lot of problems saying, I don't edit history. It's as happened, and I don't like the way people edit history. There's sort of like there's this idea of real history and fake history rather than edited history. And that ability to deal with editing is this entire intelligence overlay to actually look at the strategy, the strategy, your implementation of a strategy or a meta strategy, that is how your strategy interacts with everybody else's strategy. All this high level thing, and how, if you're in strategy, how you deal with something. You have to actually triage what's given to you as a social social currency, which you trade, and intelligence currency, which is open for interpretation. So this is really interesting to see how sort of research is really intelligence. You're gathering intelligence from nature. You are basically a military intelligence officer operating in the field of conflict called science, it's very, very interesting, and it is also interesting how science has got a bad name. People can diffuse it, dismiss it, because the reason that you dismiss it, the reason people, I don't know, people hate new people, they hate rich people, they hate poor people, anyone who is perceived as a threat to the way that they want to do. So if, I see it in this is the most extreme thing I see, obviously, if you are very connected to trees and nature, and a new couple comes into your neighborhood, and then after about 6 months, I hate to say it, the wife will start to complain bitterly about the trees, manipulate, and the chainsaws come out and they've gone. You can see that the people obviously have the strategy to do what they were going to do in the first place. It's not very, very inspiring. In fact, it's strategy and intelligence getting you to wake up and do something completely different. It's the idea that this is central to military strategy, the idea of center of mass. What is that one concept that the person has? It's called center of mass. I'd call it anchor concept. What is one idea that this person will not let go of, so you can tie them up to it and throw them overboard and or throw them into the depths? What's this one thing that they won't do? And by actually using that one, they will start to behave. You can start to control the action. That's called center of mass. So this is really interesting for me in terms of that initially you get these bad signals back. But the bad signals are bad signals for you, but there are nonetheless information signals. So just going back, this painting, Founding of Australia, you can animate it, get the thing that's hanging and the images before which weren't good enough. This is, I have a message I want to give. I don't know what the message is, but I can now tell what the intent of the message is by how they've edited it, which is one intelligence zone. But we now have a fresh intelligence world in terms of that the ability to comprehend intelligence tells you about the group that you're in. So even if people are being absolutely nasty to you, vile and all that sort of stuff, that tells you what is important to them, what is their center of mass, what is their anchor with which you can throw them overboard. The only reason you want to throw them overboard is that they're looking backwards, looking at themselves and not looking into the horizon to that objective. So you're not trying to knock them over, because that's expensive stuff. You're trying to do it. And so what you want to do is just back off, not interact, and get to that horizon moment. Okay, I'm off to the gym. God spare me. Oh God, it's 3 hours or more. 3 hours or two. I'll probably do 2 hours and get in. All right, thanks a lot for listening. Bye. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you.
may you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.